Greetings and salutations, my friend. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I'll be the net control operator this Sunday night for the Limehawk Technical Met. Limehawk Technical Met has been around since 1982, and it continues to serve the local public discussing technical topics, scientific topics, and Paul WS2N space reports. The way that I figure we'll work it tonight is we'll offer people to sign in if they have any questions of a technical nature, and I'll try to address it. Other people will hopefully respond as well and offer their suggestions. If we get through technical questions, I'll give you some news about the virus and an opportunity for anyone interested to ask questions about it to ask questions. And, you know, if no one wants to, that's fine, too. I can't really judge how people's attitudes are going to be, but I'll be available for general answers to general questions. I can't give specific clinical opinions for individual cases. And then I'll do other stories to pad it up to about 10:15, and then Paul, WS2N, will do his space report for the evening. So that's the game plan. If you have any questions of a technical nature, any topics you want to discuss, if you want to discuss hotspots, they're very hot these days in amateur radio, or whatever, please give me your first name and your call sign.
Rich, W2BZ.
Okay, Rich recognized. Anyone else want to put their name on the list tonight?
Net Control, this is Mike. I am KC3LUP on EchoLink.
Yes, Mike. Mike, KC3LUP, recognized, and I see you on my EchoLink client. So, welcome aboard. Do you have any questions for tonight? Once again, Mike, KC3LUP, recognized. Are you just checking into the net, or do you have any questions or topics you want to discuss tonight?
Very good, Net Control. Thank you very much. No topics in particular. Happened to have recently moved to a new residence from northeastern Pennsylvania to southeastern Pennsylvania, and just in the past couple of months, I have not yet had an opportunity to get my antennas up at my new place. So for right now, I am limited to EchoLink. And I had a little bit of time tonight, as I assume many of us may have these days. So I looked to see what nets were on the air at this time, and I found yours. So no technical questions or topics right now. I do use a hotspot. In fact, I was just on DMR a few moments ago, so I'm a little familiar with that. But really just wanted to check in, say hello, and listen to who's out there. I saw that you are in Long Island, New York area, I believe, so just wanted to see how folks in that area are doing. I know we're all struggling with the current situation, but some more than others. So that's really all I had here from the Reading Pottstown area of southeastern Pennsylvania. Just wanted to check in and say hello to all. So thank you, Net Control, for acknowledging. I'll turn it back over to you, and I will say 73 for now from KC3LUP.
Okay, very good, Mike. Welcome. You're always welcome. We're here every Sunday at 8 o'clock, and I have fond memories of times that I was left with little else but EchoLink when I first got my license 9 years ago, and I didn't have a radio to call my own. I had a call sign, so I used it to get access to EchoLink, and I talk to all kinds of interesting people. I talk to people working radios in Romania and all kinds of fun. So it's nice that we have those additional options. It's always nice to have an antenna and to do it in RF. But whatever it is you're able to do, it's good that we have that available. So as I said before, Mike, welcome aboard. We're here every week. If you want to, you can just listen or you can participate, whatever you're so inclined to do. Go with 73 for now, and I hope to hear from you again. Anyone else want to check in for any questions or topics for the technical mess tonight? Okay, I will take that as a resounding not quite for now, and move on to the top person on my list, Rich, W2BZ. What question or topic you have of interest today?
Well, first of all, second of all, you just went from 50% noise to full quieting, and it was a fade. It wasn't a jump to full quieting, it was a fade. Is that the Selden repeater? Do we know what's going on? Is that my... that's not my question, Roy, but I was just wondering, because you're pretty noisy.
Okay, unfortunately, I don't have a clue. I can look on my pan adapter and get a sense for what's going on in Glen Oaks. Glen Oaks, the pan adapter waveform looks reasonable to me. So there might be something wonky going on in Plain View, for all I know. I am not aware of that. Anyone out there listening on the other repeater, if you could give me a quick little signal report, I'd appreciate it.
KD2FIU, Roy?
Yes, George.
I normally get you loud and clear on the input. I'm not getting you at all on the input. Your signal is very low.
Okay, let's try it again. Are you getting anything now?
Negative, negative. No input signal. I would normally have you 3/4 to full scale on 2 meters on the input.
Okay, this is me going about as big as I can without my overthrusters on. Again, I'm looking at a waveform and I'm seeing it squiggle all over the place. So I'm assuming that I'm hitting the repeater. I don't know what to tell you at this point.
Yeah, a thruster gave me half scale with noise. That's my only input I can give you right now. I did get half scale versus no scale, but noisy. KD2FYU, that's my only input. Roy, back to you.
WS2N.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, the last transmission was very good, and equal audio coming out of Selden.
Okay, I don't know what to tell you. I usually can get to the repeater on less than 5 watts, and now I'm shoving 38 watts into it.
Well, it sounds like it's 90% to full quieting, at least here in Riverhead.
Okay, I don't know if it's something going on here or something going on there. Everything else seems to be working as per normal here. So, okay, well, we'll just have to work around it or work through it or work to the side of it. At least now I assume that I'm not noisy, which is a good thing. And we'll go from there. So, Rich, what's your question for tonight?
Yeah, going to work around anything. You're fine. My question is this. Those who know me know that I have a dropout problem with my handy talkie, and I also have a heat problem with my handy talkie. Now, I have never heard, it's a Yaesu 60R, I have never heard that handy talkies are not meant to be operated like base stations. And that's my question. Is that true or is that not true? You are supposed to not key down anywhere near as you you can on a base station, or it doesn't make a difference. Go ahead.
AC2GS. In my experiences, radios come in all shapes and sizes. Some are underrated so that you don't burn them out. Some have very good heat dissipation design so that they'll take a higher duty cycle. That's kind of one of the differences between a repeater radio and a radio that most people end up buying for their shacks. That because of the way repeaters work, they're practically at 100% duty cycle at times, and so they're much more robust. It is much more likely to get a much more robust radio in a mobile radio or a base radio than a handy talkie radio. It's depending upon the company and the cost and all the other little factors. So a well-designed 30, say, Motorola brand handy talkie probably can take a far greater duty cycle than certainly a Baofeng or any generic Chinese one. But, it'll be interesting to hear if anyone out there has any personal opinions and experiences along those lines.
WHCDO.
Yes, Andy.
Hi, guys. I've been listening in. We're on the phone, I just wanted to come in. First of all, Roy, when you first came on, the signal was noisy. And I'm hearing some static, but I don't know if it's coming from you or if it's the repeater. So I want to see if I hear the static on my signal. You may have a connection somewhere, because normally, Roy, you're a speaker and you're not. Then that last transmission, yeah, we hear you pretty well. But there is, I guess, around 40%, maybe 30% noise in the background. You're not quieting, and I've heard you stronger, so I'm not sure if you want to change the antennas or what, but there's something in your... Okay. I do hear the static, and I want mine, so that eliminates that. Okay. Let me let it drop, and I want to answer or give a Rich some ideas that I have. Okay, Rich, in regard to the talkies, what I've done in the past is I've looked up the specifications for, number one, how much battery ampere hour rating is, what the ampere hour rating of the battery is that comes with the radio. as a stock radio, it gives an idea how long you can actually transmit if the battery goes dead, if you want to keep transmitting continuously. Look up the spec. I could look it up on the internet. I didn't do it yet. Look up the spec, Rich. See how much current the radio draws on transit power, either high or low or medium. They should give that specification. And then look up the 8-hour rating of the battery that it comes with. And then given that data, you can sort of figure out how long you're going to transmit for before your battery goes dead, given how much current it's going to draw. These handy talkies are not really made for 100% duty, whatever that is. Because it's a handy talkie, you're not going to just keep transmitting continuously. Some of them have timeouts set up, double timeouts. But as a guide, look up those numbers, or if you want, I'll look them up and I'll see what they are. As a reference point, see how much current the radio draws and how much battery power the radio delivers. The battery delivers to the radio. Does that make any sense? Rich, let me give it back to Roy.
Question.
This is AC2GS, and I'll pass it over to Rich. I'm not quite sure if that's the question Rich is asking. He's not particularly interested, I think, in the transmission time duration and battery charge. He's concerned that these dropouts are because his his transmitter is overheating and possibly folding back, and whether it's more a function of his duty cycle. That is there any real fundamental way to look up what a suggested duty cycle for a given power output is for a given model of a radio is?
Exactly, Roy. I'm on a power supply, not even on a battery. So I was just wondering, you know, when I am soon to probably in 10 minutes start getting a heat timeout, I'm just wondering why that happened. Am I, this radio, which by the way, when I bought it, was as highly thought of as any radio on the market, a Yaesu 60R, so it was no slouch then, and it shouldn't be now, but, you know, these heat timeouts, but can't figure it out. It may be in the antenna, the transmission line, but I was just wondering if you are not supposed to talk for more than X amount of seconds on a handy talkie. Back to you.
Actually recognize Andy. Any opinions on that topic?
Okay, I just heard Leslie also. I'm looking up the manual now, and I misunderstood the question. I was more concentrating on voice signals at the time. Let me look it up and see what the specification, what it says in the manual. I'll get back to you on that. Okay. And operating it on the power supply. All right. I don't know what the numbers are. Let me see if I can find it. Back to you. Go ahead. Go ahead back to you.
Okay, very good, Ann. Wesley, do you have something to say on the topic?
I think in Rich's present case, he's describing a Yaesu, not a Chinese manufacturer.
Then, the cause is the same, but maybe the thermocapacity is failing.
Can you join my... Yes, George.
Yeah, thank you, Roy. Let's ask Wesley, this is the only input I have in the menu. Does he have any time set for the TOT? And sometimes those, the Yaesu radios, and they come with it already set at either 30 or 60 seconds. And that's to preserve the radio. If you want to go over that, I wouldn't with an HT. Check the TOT in the menu.
Okay, thank you, George. The person who started this question isn't Wesley. He's helping out along with Andy. It's Rich, W2BZ, that has the problem. So I'll turn it over to whether he thinks it's a DOT sitting problem or basically as he presented it, that it produces a signal that it's overheating and it shuts down. But I'll leave it to Rich clarify that.
I think if it is a TOT problem, then going over the TOT can finish a backwards way of doing, especially in cases. So, it's not a TOT problem. I start getting a flashing LCD on the LCD screen, I'd say
driving like I am now. I got some numbers. I stepped on somebody. I got some numbers.
KB2RY? David, recognize, but let Andy speak and then we'll get to you. Okay,
Okay, thanks. Rich, what voltage are you operating the handy talk UFC-60 at from your power supply? What voltage is being supplied to it?
3.
I missed that. Say it again.
15.3.
Alright, so you're 13.3 volts. From your power supply, do you know what your output power from the radio is going to the antenna? Do you have a meter on it? You can measure the power?
I do not. Sadly, I do not.
Alright, because most of the time, and I've seen this in the past, you know, these radios come with batteries that are supplying a lot less. The nominal voltage for this radio is 7.2 volts. 7.2. Now, it doesn't say what the power output would be with volts. The current draw on 2 meters, 1.5 amps for 5 watt transmit power. So when the radio puts out 5 watts, it's drawing 1.5 amps of current. I'm assuming that's at 7.2 volts. That's the current for 5 watt transmit. That's on high power. I don't know what your power is because you don't know what the power is. You may be able to drop down your voltage from, if you can. Most of the time, what I've noticed in the past is with the lower battery voltage, you're not going to get 5 watts out of the radio, you're going to get less. But in this case, that may not be the case. You're going to have to check it to see. So, if 7.2 volts is what the voltage should be, and according to the specification, and you're putting in 13 volts, you could drop that down. You should drop that down and then see if that clears up the problem as a starting point. Roy, back to you. I'll pass it back to you to pay attention.
Okay, thank you very much, Andy. What's your response, Rich?
I just switched it down to mid power, which I think is 7. I'm not sure. I should take a look at Andy. Yes, you have the manual there. I forget what low, mid, and high power is on the radio, but I wonder how much my signal has degraded since I just dropped it down to mid power.
Coming. Definitely recognized, but let's first go to Andy.
All right, I won't be on too long, so you guys can continue. I hear you, Rich. You got noisy, but I still hear you. Incidentally, what I did not mention is the operating voltage range. According to the specification, it says it can operate 6 volts all the way up to 16 volts through the external DC jack. I'm assuming that's what you're using to connect the radio to the power supply, the external DC jack. So the operating range is from 6 to 16 volts. What I would do, because I believe that your power output is not going to be 5 watts out at 6 volts, even less than battery voltage. It's going to drop. I don't know how much it's going to drop from the nominal 5 watts that it's supposed to put out. My question or concern is, how much power is the radio putting out high voltage that you're looking into it. There might be a limit, and there probably is due to the circuitry design, but it may cause the higher heating problem that you're having. So my suggestion is, if you can get a hold of a watt meter and actually measure the wattage and see what that is at the voltage that you're operating at, it may give you a clue. It might, the wattage may be higher than what it's supposed to be, and that could be adjusted. Okay, that's my opinion on that. Roy, back to you. Thanks.
KD2FIU.
RY.
Yeah, I have a problem with Andy's explanation.
Okay, guys, you can't all do it at once. So let's hear again from Rich, and then we'll go down the list of people who want to tell Rich what the problem is. So, Rich, what's your response this time around? Rich, W2BZ, you around?
Yeah.
Do you have any particular response to what Andy just told you?
Stand by a second. You hear me, Roy?
David, I hear you. I heard Wesley and I heard George. And as soon as I hear from Rich, I'll go down the list and make sure that everyone has an opportunity to speak about this problem of Rich's.
Okay, my response is that I should have a watt meter, according to NIST, it should be a watt meter and an SWR meter, and I don't, so I can't give you any intelligent answers.
Okay, David, KG2RY wanted to say something.
Thank you, Roy. What I would do is I would get a car adapter, like a car power adapter, so the 12-volt side goes into the power supply, and the other side fits into the battery chamber of the FT60R, and there's no need to adjust the voltage. I don't know why it has to be so complicated. You know, if the power adapter is working properly, you should get the right amount of voltage into the HT. Go ahead.
The switch rod that I'm using now, is that what you're saying?
Just get a good quality car power adapter. So you plug one side, it's like a cigarette lighter plug, goes into the power supply, and the other end, it goes into your battery chamber of your HT, and the voltage is automatically adjusted for you.
Okay, by the way, so far on this net, I haven't had the problem, which is, right, the TV repairman, you know, everything's working fine. Okay, well, back to you, next show, and see what everybody else has to say.
Okay, thank you, David, and thank you, Rich. I would suggest, though, that we haven't really come to any conclusion that you're feeding it an incorrect voltage. Most handy talkies, to my understanding, have a regulated circuit that allows for a lot of mischief, that, you know, as long as you don't go crazy with it. I'm not quite sure whether that's what's going on or not. We don't know. You know, I'm sure Andy knows better than I. It could be something as simple as the final power transistor is beginning to fail and less efficient than it used to be and generating more heat than it used to. Or it could be that the or being used to the thermal whatever is its heat sink is failing and it needs to be reapplied, or I think as mentioned earlier by Wesley that the thermocouple might be giving erroneous numbers and issue a warning prematurely. So it could be kind of all of those things. I would generally suggest that you try and keep your transmissions short, because you've been doing that tonight and not having that problem. It's the long conversations that you have that probably kind of overpower the final power transistors. I mean, I once was doing my articles back-to-back-to-back on this technical net using my overthruster. And I heated the darn thing up because it's not really designed for pretty much 100% duty cycle. That's that is 100%. When it's transmitting 100%. So that's the gist of what I was thinking. And so I thank Rich and I thank David. And on just to Wesley wanted to mention something about this subject.
A simple equation. Current times voltage equals power. No matter if you have a 14 volts or you have a 6 volts. The device is taking 5 watts. So now, the amount of heat should be equal in any of them. Of those cases. Do you agree with me, Dr. Roy?
Not necessarily. In a non-regulated circuit, I agree with you completely. In a regulated circuit, where the regulator chip is lowering the voltage, not necessarily.
The power transistor, whether you have a Zener diode in the circuit or not, the power transistor is taking 5 watts. Let's assume. And if the voltage drops, the current grows. So we have, if the voltage goes up, the current is smaller, but the power transmitted remains the same. Now, you get a good suggestion that the pace might be reapplied, but also thermocouple mostly is glued to the power transistor or to the heat sink in vicinity of the power transistor. Let me drop. Now, when that thermocouple contact becomes loose, then you have your erroneous reading. The power transistor is heating up more, but the thermocouple is showing lower temperature. I don't see any other. Overheating might come. Then the power transistor should actually fail. I have a problem with taking into consideration that in regulated system, heat is produced in greater amount than the power relation voltage to current and to energy.
I don't think that that's the case. I think that would be a very inefficient regulator of the voltage. Usually, regulator chips will down voltage, and so the ensuing wattage, I equal E is going to be less because E is going to be less. That's sort of the way that I see these things. And also, again, the final stage of a handy talkie is not a consistent, constant sort of thing. If you've ever looked at the specs of many of the handy talkies, you can replace with the high energy density lithium ions with the regular alkaline batteries. You'll have a functional radio, but its final output stage will go down precipitously. You're going anywhere from 5 watts to, say, 1.5 watts. So, if you don't have an energy source with a high enough ability, a low enough internal resistance and a high capacity for current flow, that also changes the equation. So, in a perfect circuit, I give you certainly I equals W, but these are not perfect circuits.
Well, Are you suggesting that the voltage regulator is taking whatever the voltage is coming and increasing the voltage to keep the voltage at the proper level, and then the current stays the same as it used to be with the proper voltage? Are you trying to tell me that? Or you just take into consideration that when the voltage is too low, the regulated power supply simply cut off the power? We don't have a thermocouple in the battery because the battery is excluded because he's powering from power supply. So the thermocouple that is built into the power battery is excluded as a factor disconnecting or overheating. So we're talking about thermocouple that is related to the power transistor and to a ship.
Yes, Wesley, because he's not using a battery, we're not really taking into consideration any of the safety features of a battery that's not connected. So we're simply thinking, when I mentioned thermocouple, I was mentioning it more as something that might be connected close enough to the final power transistor that would be a safety feature to make sure that thermal runaway was less likely.
Are you suggesting that the regulator is taking the voltage from the power supply of whatever there is a voltage and adjusting it to the voltage that is suitable for powering the device, and by that keeping the current in the proper frame? And to
Yes. Okay, someone out there said yes. I assume that's George. Was that you, George?
KD2FIU. Roy, thank you. Hand it to me when you're done.
No, we're done.
I spoke to Yaesu about the FT60 about 2 years ago, and when I wanted to try it in the mobile, and they said they have a very robust regulator in it. However, when you start to drop in voltages, the final of it will actually drop current draw when you drop voltage. It's done by the regulator section. Another thing is, if he's getting a heat figure, we still don't know what SWR he's transmitting against.
That's a good point. But the point is that if it's lowering current when the voltage is lowering, then heat is lesser than it's supposed to be. So the heat factor should then conflict with the statement said by the owner of the radio. And to issue.
Is it possible that this power supply is not efficiently powering up the HT, so it cuts out?
KD2FIU.
Yes, George.
Yaesu also told me that when that regulator is working against higher voltages, it cannot take inputs with a lot of ripple. So we don't know what kind of power supply, whether... by the way, if Rich is still there, is this happening with a fully charged battery without him assuming that the battery was going dead and cutting it out? There's a lot of factors with an HT, and Roy said that about 2 minutes ago. Those transmitters are designed for a lot of tolerance. And there's one thing about the transmitters there on that we don't know how bad the SWR is that may be causing it to become hot. We don't know whether that supply has a high ripple. We don't know. It's hard to just advise him on this. You got to really isolate it by playing with it.
In my five senses, yes. If the wire is disconnected to PNC connector or to F connector in any radio, it's loosened, it's not, it's a cold soldering or something else, or whatever the factor is that you have a better SWR and high return, then yes, you're going to have overheat, and then the thermocouple is going to react. Dr. Roy.
Okay, unfortunately I doubled with you, Wesley, so I was busy talking, so I didn't hear a word that you said.
Okay, what I said is that if the wire that is connected to BNC connector or the F connector, N connector, or whatever the connector you have on the radio is cold soldering, or whatever the reason is that you have high SWR, then yes, you have overheating of the of the power transistor, and that would probably be the most reasonable cause of it. Thermocouple is gonna react because it's next to the transistor. And
okay, Wesley, but you don't necessarily have to aim at a cold solder joint. There's a whole bunch of different things that could be going wrong. His coaxial cable could be damaged. His antenna could be non-resonant for some reason. I don't know if I would stick with just primarily a cold solder joint. That's the problem, that there are way too many variables that are unknown to us. But that's tonight's exercise, to see if we can kind of suss it out and at least give him some suggestions without having wattmeters and VNAs and oscilloscopes to detect these things.
I was assuming that he has a rubber duck antenna connected, so there is nothing in between.
Okay, let's ask Rich, because my idea was that he had something a little bit more significant that he was using for his handy-talkie. So what's the nature of the antenna that you're using, Rich?
Well, the SWR is 1.5 to 1, and it's just a simple vertical dipole as could possibly be made, and it's up about 10 feet in the air. It's got one rod of 19 1/4 inches going up, which is attached to the center conductor, and then another rod, same dimensions, going down, attached to the blade, and that is it. On my VNR comes out to 1.0.
Okay, very good, Rich. So, again, I'm not quite sure if you could be... again, is it possible to cold solder joint? Yeah, there's about 10,000 different possibilities, because there's a conga line of all the different things that all have to work in the right direction. The more information, the better. There was one question that I don't think, Rich, you had the opportunity to answer, in that... If you have an available chargeable and a battery, if you swap in the battery, do you notice any difference in the amount of time that it takes for it to overheat?
I don't know. Years ago, the battery died, and that's why I'm using this little power supply, this MFJ. It's 25-watt switching power supply. That is different tonight. There is definitely something that is different, and Roy, you keep on hinting on it. I've never been able to hand to finger this FMA from a PL259. I've never been able to get my fingers in there to do that. So tonight I took a small wrench and just more snugly than ever. Tightened that FMA adapter, and who knows, that could be the whole problem. And one thing I do want to know is, while the thing is working as I think it is now, is the signal acceptable? Is it a decent signal?
KD2FIU.
Yes, George recognized. Well, let me just put in my 2 cents. You're dropping out every so often, and it's a bit noisy, but, you know, it's on par with conversations I've had before with you on the repeater. So it might end up being as innocuous as a loose SMA connector. They do tend to come loose at times. Every so often I get into this habit of tightening mine up, and most of the time I don't need to, but every so often I'll notice that there's a little bit of a loosey-goosey-ness in it. So you may have solved your problem by yourself. But, George, you want to say something?
thoughts as to how this FT-60 performs with a fully charged original battery and the original antenna. KD2FIU.
Okay, George, unfortunately, as I understand it from Rich, his original battery went the way of all things, and his only option right now is to use an external power supply. But I'll turn it over to Rich to see if I got that wrong or not.
Got that right. I do not have any workable batteries here, but I do have, George, and I've been thinking of doing some research. I do have, and what I would like to do, just to see if it heats up, I would my antenna and see if I, which I haven't tonight yet, even on high power, have a heat dropout or a heat warning to the radio.
Okay, very good. I'm glad to hear that, Rich. Again, it might be from tightening the SMA. It might be, I think, it's not like I sit here with a stopwatch because I'm doing already 342 other things here on the desk. But it seems your transmissions are shorter in duration than they have in the past. So it might, to a degree, be that you are just kind of accidentally or incidentally decreasing your duty cycle to your radio.
Feel that shorter, are you saying that doesn't seem that much shorter, I have a feel for deep talk, if I'm in a regular shoe show, I go on a little bit further, but not on the,
one that you've been doing tonight, and you had a lot of dropout at the end of it.
A lot of dropout?
Correct.
So what is that? I'm not getting a heat warning. It's been hot. I'm holding the...
I don't know what to tell you. It's very possible that we're dealing actually with two very separate components. One is the heat problem, and the other is whatever it is that's causing you to kind of drop out of the repeater completely. Whether it's because whether you're over-modulating and that's kind of pushing you over the repeater, or there's a kind of sticky connection and you push to talk, I'm not quite sure. But usually, you drop out, at least tonight, you drop out once for about a second or two every 15 to 25 seconds. And the last few transmissions have been kind of 50-50 blank. So whatever it is that's causing these dropouts, again, might be different than the thermal issues. They might be related, but they might be somewhat different.
AHK.
Yes, AHA recognized. What do you want to say?
All right, WP2AHK. And then one other variable, I think the location of his antenna, the antenna might be working right, but it could be in a position that's not picking up the repeater properly, and he might want to go up and down the pole. Even going down on the pole might help. He might not have a problem in his radio. It could be the location of his antenna. Go ahead.
Okay, I mean, that might solve the intermittent dropouts to a degree. It wouldn't really affect the heat issue, though.
Could it be that I'm just not holding the repeater?
KD2FIU.
George. Hold off. George wants to say something. I would think that if you were fully, if you weren't keying the repeater, you'd have the acknowledgement signals coming from the repeater, which I don't hear. It's just blank. wanted to say something.
Yeah, the changes in performance right now, we don't know of whether or not hitting the repeater, whether his signal is sufficient, whether there are propagation levels, propagation problems getting him into the repeater that may have changed in the last 20, 30 minutes or so. That we don't know, so we're talking about the performance of the radio. If he really wants to examine the performance of the radio, he's got to work original battery and original design antenna. I don't mean original as old or not, but original battery design. Original design, because we don't know whether it's the radio or good old Rube G, Rube capital G in there, which may be one of the factors. And also right now, it could be his propagation to the Selden repeater. So his performance has changed now, and we know he's got the problem out there, but we can't tell, we can't isolate the radio until he gets it working as it should work.
Okay, George, I understand and I agree in principle what you're saying. We're just, unfortunately, we're kind of muddying the waters because I personally brought up the secondary situation with something out of the repeater. Again, I would think that if it was truly unseating the repeater, you would get some feedback from the side of the repeater acknowledgement signals. Don't think that happens. Might be wrong. It might be a timing issue that if you regain the signal in short time enough, it negates those acknowledgement signals. But I think, unfortunately, we're muddying the waters with two different issues. The primary issue that Rich brought to the table tonight was the thermal issue and whether the duty cycle of a handy talkie is lower than a mobile or a commercial radio, which I think it generally is. And I think as far as the thermal issue, especially since he hasn't demonstrated that it's happening lately, maybe he fixed it with tightening the SMA. Maybe it's the duration of the transmissions. I can't really tell you. This is just off the top of my head. As far as the dropping out of the repeater, and as a person who was told that I was dropping out of the repeater all over the time about 8-9 months ago, I can appreciate that. It is probably one of the more problematic symptoms to find a solution to. They never actually figured out why I dropped out, by the way. But anyway, so there's a whole bunch of different reasons. Should he try adjusting the antenna? That's definitely something that's a good idea. Make sure that all the connections are tight and there's no cold solder joints. You know, all the routine sort of stuff. But unfortunately, I don't think Rich is in a situation where he can reset his handy talkie to factory standard and do those sort of tests. Maybe sometime in the future, but not right now.
Reset it. Reset on it, but sets all the functions. I don't think it goes beyond that. And the continuity with the antenna is fine. I checked the continuity between the semiconductor and ground. Everything's fine there. So we'll have to see. We'll just have to see. And I appreciate everybody's input. This is W2DZ.
Okay, very good, Rich, and thanks for bringing the question here, and thanks to David and Wesley and George and WB2AHK and other people that participated. You know, when you find out more stuff, please come back and tell us how it worked out, or if you want to run it around other people for their opinion, you're always free to do that at the Technical Net, Richard.
I happen to think that it has the SMA, because this radio is running cooler than it has since I've been back on Limox in the last year and a half.
Okay, that's good. So one problem down, another problem left to go, but I hope the solution to this other problem is as simple as tightening an SMA connector. So that's good. Okay, anyone else who wants to voice any opinion on this subject before we move on to something else?
KG2RY.
Yes, David.
Just a very small, minute detail. You know, the performance of an antenna, and I guess my question would be, is a connection at the antenna side carefully weatherproofed? Mike, back to you.
Well, I would hope so. I'll pass it over to Rich for the answer to that. Shouldn't be that much of a problem, though, because my understanding is that he's doing his transmissions indoors. So, you know, it's not like he's going to get rained on indoors. But, Rich, your comment.
KD2FYU.
Yes, George.
I'm on an FT60 with a half-charged battery and a rubber ducky kitchen miles from the repeater.
Okay, and you sounded good.
I don't expect it to do much more than that. All of a sudden, the repeater makes some big noise coming in.
Yes, I've been talking to people about the somewhat erratic nature of the repeater from my end, and I'm told that they're going to look into these aspects, fluctuations, desensing maybe, or just diminished sensitivity. You know, there's noise on everyone's signal that comes and goes and comes and goes, and I look on my pan adapter for other transmissions on the band, and they're kind of staying the same, so I'm confused by that as well.
Right, my suggestion to Rich is that he tries to work with the FT60 local repeaters the way it was designed, with an original battery, an original antenna, even if he's got to get a cheap battery off of eBay.
Okay, George, you've transmitted your suggestion, and Rich, I'm sure, has heard it, and we'll hear in the future how things work out for his situation.
KD2FIU, 73.
You all sound great.
Again? Hey, well, George 73, have a safe week if I don't hear from you again tonight. But please, you know, listen if you can and participate if you can as well. So I want to thank you. And as always, George, you're an important part of this this ham community and this repeater. Okay, anyone out there who has any other questions that are technical, who would like to ask, or topic, or what have you tonight, if you have anything that you would like to introduce before we get to the news, if you will, please give us your first name and your call sign. Okay, very well. We'll go on with the stories. I have a few coronavirus-based stories that might be of interest, and then I'll give you the unfortunate numbers for tonight, and then I'll open the airwaves if anyone wants to discuss any of these stories or any of the concepts that are going around as far as the coronavirus. Let me drop for a second, then I'll start with my first little story. Oh. Okay. Last week, I shared some recently released numbers on how long the COVID-19 virus has survived in a recognizable state on different types of material. I thought that I might deep dive into that report and present it here tonight. There was an eyebrow-raising report that the novel coronavirus can live for 24 hours on cardboard, and